It's Thursday, December 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 733, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is sponsored also in part by Mosey, Mosey for Business. Get 15% off by using the promo code PODCAST15 at moseypro.com. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you. This is the last one of 2012. Lots to talk about and some interesting emails have come in. We'll share that with you here in just a moment. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. It's a beautiful evening here in Hawaii. The trades are up. I would say it's about 80. The weather has been absolutely beautiful for the last couple of days. It's just been perfect for kind of wrapping up the end of the year. Of course, I want to say Happy New Year to everyone. Many of you will get this after the New Year. Some of you will listen to it before. Whatever stage you're at, thanks for watching and listening. We definitely appreciate all of you that are longtime Ohana of the show. Really, I want to thank you for your longtime support of the show. Here we are. We're wrapping up 7+ years of content from this show. And we're now, you know, really going to be starting into, you know, marching towards that 8th year. And it's amazing where we've been. And it's been an interesting road with speed bumps here and there. And we've had a couple of speed bumps here in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But by and large, all of you have hung tight, stayed with the show, and gave me great feedback throughout the years. And really, that's kind of the most important thing. And of course, feedback is always important. So you can tweet me at Geek News, or of course, you can email me geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. I quite honestly expect the voicemail line to be, I guess for a better word, saturated, but the voicemail line's been quiet. But the email, on the other hand, has been, I guess, for a better word, a little bit over the top. And I'll cover that here in just a few seconds. Of course, we've got listeners that are tuned in from around the world. I want to thank you for being here and staying subscribed, of course. Now, you can get over to the show real simple. And just all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. And let me scroll this up here for you on the page. And there's a subscribe sidebar there where you'll be able to get the audio, video, podcast, special media events feed. You'll want to get subscribed to that because obviously we're going to be ramping up the CES coverage here in the next week. So that feed is going to be absolutely slam-packed full of information. Of course, the morning tech show we'll have a show on Saturday. We're going to have a special event actually leading up to CES. So look forward to putting that together for those of you that want to come and hang out. Got Gadget Professor. He put up his latest show. Matter of fact, it's right here on the front page of Geek News Central right now. And he talked about hidden Roku channels and some free software downloads. So there's some great information in the latest Gadget Professor show. Of course, we got the Chrome show and Robot Underpants, which was released last night. So lots of good stuff at Geek News Central. We want to make sure that you get subscribed. And of course, you can see tonight, I've got, those of you watching the video, I've got, and see if I can point my finger at it here, I've got the CES logo up, basically letting you know to make sure that you get ready to tune into TPN.TV, or basically right here, you'll get the live stream as well. Just about a week from today, we're going to be really cranking in Vegas. So I'm pretty excited about that. Well, I'm going to talk just a little bit about, obviously GoDaddy's a sponsor here. They continue to be some discussion about it in the tech space. Where we were on the last show is that they had reversed their SOPA decision, And people weren't real happy because they felt that GoDaddy had not been very decisive in their saying we're against it. They basically said they're kind of going to watch and see. And what has happened today is they basically have come out and revised their statement and said that they're very much against SOPA now and they're going to work to fight it. And I'll be honest with you, I spent about an hour on the phone yesterday with someone at corporate talking about this issue at length. And I'm sure they've had input from other folks as well. But I was definitely talking with some folks there that mattered and basically giving, you know, kind of our side of the fence. And you guys all know that we've talked about this in the show on, you know, I was basically not happy when the initial announcement came out on Christmas Eve, or basically 23rd or so of December or so, that was talking about GoDaddy and their support of this and then their changing of their decision. And everything has kind of transpired. And of course, today was the big GoDaddy, leave GoDaddy day. We'll see how that ended up being. But with the new statement today, in the strong language that they have come out with, I'm hoping that people will realize that they've had a change of heart. Now, maybe part of it was a checkbook, but maybe also they started to listen to the community. And that is, they're listening a lot more than the 260 other companies, or maybe 300 plus, that's on that list. And tonight I'm going to link up in the show notes, I'm going to list, to give you a link up of all the show companies that are still supporting it. But, you know, I was called hypocritical by an email that came in today. People saying you're hypocritical. You know, you're against SOPA, but you're giving GoDaddy a pass. I said very clearly in this show that I was against SOPA and I was not happy with what GoDaddy said. Now, that being said, you guys got to remember there's some history here. This company has been supporting this show and making all this possible, along with other sponsors, since 2005. And I'm willing to give a company the benefit of the doubt and the ability to look at a topic and to go through and make a decision, all right? They obviously had the wrong initial opinion, and I think we all agree with that. But, you know, you don't hear the folks that are sending me emails that are blasting me. I mean, really nasty, absolutely nasty, disgusting emails. And stuff that I have never heard from this audience come in and basically say some horrible things, but yet they're willing to use their Visa and their MasterCard, who are SOPA supporters. They're willing to watch the TV and listen to the radio, read magazines, read books, all of those groups, every last one of those groups are huge SOPA supporters. You know, so before you guys come at me and attack me, please understand this is just the crux. We should be happy that GoDaddy has made the decision to switch gears. Whether it had been financial, I don't care how they came to the decision. I'm glad that they did. And if it was the community that screamed at them, fantastic. So be it. But that doesn't change things here on this show. And because they've changed that, I think it's an eye opener. It's made them sit back and go, this show was sponsored by GoDaddy largely because GoDaddy sat back and went, because in 2004, had an issue with them and very publicly slammed them in my public forums. They came on and said, what did we do wrong? And I told them, and they fixed it and subsequently came on as a sponsor. But ever since then, I've had a direct line to the absolute top of the GoDaddy food chain. Now, you can absolutely be guaranteed the reason I got that interview with Warren Edelman that I played on the last show is because I have direct contact to Warren. He's been the guy that I've always contacted. Now, Warren took over as CEO. He's been in the job 7, 8, 9 days. Don Parsons is now kind of I don't know if Don's retired or if he's now a partner or how this thing is, but I don't think he has as an active role in the company as he used to. I don't know the full stance. I don't know his full position, but I do know from what I've been told that he is kind of behind the scenes. So maybe we'll see some different things coming out of GoDaddy. And with that, they have made available and have always made available some great deals. And I'm not going to go through the promos tonight. You guys can look at them on the website. They're there. And you know, I know some of you probably moved your domains. That's cool. And it's going to take a little bit of time for you guys to get your trust back. And I understand that completely. But here's the thing that I want all you guys to know. Don't shoot the messenger, because you guys knew my stance on SOPA from the very beginning. And I was thoroughly, not necessarily disgusted, but I was disappointed in the emails that I received. But at the same point, here's this huge, huge list. And I hear no one. You know, everyone would put their energy against all these other companies as well, just as they did against GoDaddy, we would get some action happening here. ABC, BMI, CBS, Copyright Alliance, EMI, ESPN, NBC, L'Oreal, Macmillan, Major League Baseball, National Football League, National Association of, let's see, who else? I don't want to read something. News Corp, Pfizer, Random House, Scholastic, Revlon, Tiffany, Time Warner, UMG, Viacom, Visa, MasterCard, Warner Music Group, Word Entertainment, and on and on and on and on. Minor League Baseball, MCA Records, MasterCard Worldwide, Marvel Entertainment. So, Estee Lauder, Elsevier, huge companies. Huge, huge, huge companies. But you hear nothing. Nothing, not a peep about people saying, let's boycott them, let's go after them. Well, obviously, GoDaddy was the whipping boy, and they were the easy target. That's behind us. We're going to move on. But please, quit sending me hate mail, because I'm just going to delete it from this point forward. I really am. I just couldn't believe it. And it hasn't been a lot. But that has come in has been, I'm just shocked. I really am. So obviously I'm on a little bit of a rant here. Maybe I'm a little bit being too defensive. If I am, so be it. And here's the thing. I bring you guys have no idea I think most of you do. You understand the sacrifice it is to bring you this show. And it's not, I'm not of me, of my family. Okay. I'm happy to bring you this show. I love to bring you this show. All right? That's straight up. You know, I've always loved to bring you guys the show. But some of the comments that came through to this past week made me go, So, you know, it just was kind of just surprising to me that it would be that bad. There's been a few nice comments as well. A few very good supportive comments too. But it's just those ones that come out and reach out there and zing you. It makes you go, And, you know, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And, you know, I guess I'm a big boy and I have to, this is the way it is. And I have to live with it. But just, you know, this show is as much your shows as my show. And I just want to, you know, kind of share with you guys where my position is. And, you know, I'm not perfect by far. You know, I'm not perfect by far, but I do my best to bring you guys a good show twice a week and bring you a good 60 to 75 minutes of content and pour my heart and soul out into it. And thus far, you guys have supported the sponsors. You've kept them renewing quarter after quarter. And in return, I get to eat. I get to pay my electricity bill. You know, a lot of people, we got an email from one of the guys on Tech Podcast that basically said, hey, Todd, you know, how's it work with you and Raw Voice and your show and everything else? I basically told him I take no salary from Raw Voice and do that on purpose because I want to prove that this medium of podcasting works and someone can survive and make a living on it. Yes, I have my military requirement, but that maybe pays 60% of my house payment. It doesn't make all of my house payment. And living in Hawaii is huge. My house payment is in excess of $3,000 a month, and I don't live in a mansion. You know, I live in a 1,900 square foot home, single level on an 8,000 square foot lot. Okay, so it's not like I'm in a big place. So this show and the earnings that I make from it keeps this thing going and keeps everything else going. And for someone to come up and basically say, just about the money, okay, it can be about the money, and I can cancel sponsors, and then I have to go find a job and not do this, you know, and do everything else that we do for the 10,000 content creators. So maybe that's the alternative. I don't know. But I want to thank all of you that support the show. It's appreciated. And please understand that you know, I get no special treatment at Raw Voice just because of doing a show. My shows have to be approved to be on ad buys. I get the same commission rate. I don't get the full rate. So, you know, it's just this business. Geek News Central is my wife and I's business. No one else owns that. It's her, not her and I's business. And we've talked about that numerous times on the show before. And I guess I don't need to defend myself here. You guys know what I've done and what I do in the space. And I know a lot of people appreciate it. We put hundreds of thousands of dollars in people's pockets. And we actually have put multiple millions of dollars in podcasters' pockets over the past 5 or 6 years. And not very many podcasting companies are putting millions of dollars in content creators' pockets. And we are. And what do that with a very small, team of people? And we work like dogs. And in return, I get to do this great show, you know, and talk to you guys. So it's been a kind of an interesting Christmas holiday with the with everything going on. I've talked way too long on this topic. Let's forget it and move on. All right. Video creation contest. I got one entry, but the video wouldn't play. So I'm going to write the person back and say, Trey, to resend it to me. And we will see if we can come to a conclusion on that. Next show is going to be without the TriCaster because it's going to be in the FedEx airplane heading towards Vegas. So next show will be audio only. I do want to appreciate, maybe Monday. I might actually, I don't know. I don't think I'll be able to do a video show on Monday unless I do it in the morning. I may do that. We've gotten a few CES 2012 support donations come in for our support crew. We want to thank those that have done that. It's greatly appreciated. Okay, before I go on any further here, let's take care of Mosey. You know, this is a product that I absolutely love. I mean, it's really grown on me. And I've been playing with it a lot. I've got all my machines being backed up into their business service. And just like any other business, you know, you have to do a lot of things right. And it's painful when you get something wrong. We all know that computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure and data loss, with over 140,000 hard drives failing every single week. Even a single instant of data loss isn't cheap. It could cost $10,000 or more to recover data from a single laptop or server. I think I had one hard drive went bad. I spent about between $400 and $800 to get one hard drive recovered years ago. And, you know, businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mosey to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents to family pictures and music. Is automatic and it just works. And Mosey successfully restores data to thousands of computers and servers each month. Mosey Pro works on both PC and Macs. That's really important. It's great for backing up servers. And what's cool is that they all just go. Shoom. They all go up to the cloud. It's awesome. So if your business is not backed up with Mosey Pro, you really need to make sure your data is backed up. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using promo code podcast15. Pick up the phone, call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit MoseyPro.com. That's MozyPro.com. And thanks for Mosey Pro for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, you guys ready for CES? I am. I am totally jazzed. I'm just scared to death. I'm forgetting to ship something, and I went through my inventory stuff two or three times, and I think we're good. And we'll see how this all shakes out. But you know, we've been real careful this holiday period not to eat too much stuff, and we actually have had probably the lightest food holiday of any that I've known in recent years, largely because I am definitely a little bit too much on the heavy side and need to lose about 25 pounds or more. But I was looking today, and this workstation that I just found on Ogizmo is very cool. And it's called a Steelcase Walkstation. And this thing will not let you get fat. $4,400 though. If you want a thing and walk and work, $4,400. There's got to be a cheaper solution. So I know the geeks out there, I know you guys have got some solution that you've come up with, some sort of a hack that you have a treadmill and some sort of a workstation or something. You know, here's my problem. I do not have enough hours in the day. I just don't have it. And, you know, I'm nuts. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm in here checking email immediately. I'm getting the kids up, getting them ready for school. I drive them to school. I get back. It's, you know, it's 8 o'clock. I'm into working until noon, one, two. And then it goes into the evening. It's crazy. And I said, well, if I had some sort of a workstation where I could work out and keep working, at least, you know, do show prep or stuff like that, which doesn't take a lot of super concentration. I could, you know, chew gum, walk, and type at the same time. I'd love to have one of these walk stations, but at $4,400, they aren't cheap. But I also think about it, maybe from a health perspective, it's worth it. But I'm worried I'm going to buy one of these things. It's just going to sit in the garage and collect red dirt that we have here in Hawaii. What's your thoughts? Let me know. I read an absolutely amazing article today on VentureBeat.com. It's their Game Beat section. And if you have not read this, if you own a company, if you have a PR firm, if you do correspondence with customers, believe me, you need to read this. I mean, this is the most amazing fiasco I have ever seen on how bad. I mean, this situation that developed with Ocean Media, Ocean Marketing, excuse me. This one man PR firm led by the guy by the name of Paul Cristoforo, he self-destructed his company in a single series of emails. And it's so bad that it got the entire gaming community beyond explosively mad. It's, you just can't believe what this guy did. And basically what it was a gamer had pre-ordered a couple of controllers. And let me show you these controllers. And these are supposed to be like the hottest thing coming out for gamers. These are, and again, I'm not a gamer, so I don't have, you know, any clue on why this is so great. And he basically built this originally, the company that originally built this, this end control was for handicapped kids, make it easier for them to play. But all the gamers, non-handicapped, really love these things. So anyway, this guy named Dave sent an email off to the marketing folks and said, hey, you know, I have had these on order. What's the status with the shipping and blah, 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 blah. And this idiot has responded in a way that will blow your mind. And this is just, you know, this guy went off on this customer. I mean, he flat out went off, and it got worse. He was naming, I'm a big shot. I know people over TechCrunch and such and such website. And, you know, you can't, and I mean, just this guy's throwing names, you know, making all these announcements. And the guy that runs PAX, which is the Penny Arcade Expo, he saw this and he tells his manager, or basically kill, if this guy has a booth at our event, you need to cancel it. And then this PR guy comes back and he's like talking smack to this developer. And then the Penny Arcade put this up on their website and it just went downhill from there. The company fired the PR guy just immediately, and they're scrambling. They're sucking. I'm just going to read you the first paragraph. And it is the apology of a press release I have never, ever seen from any company. So Endcontrol, makers of the Avenger controller accessory, have categorically dismissed third-party contractor Paul Cristoforo and his marketing operation, known alternately as Ocean Distribution or Ocean Marketing. This separation from Mr. Cristoforo extends to all business interests and control, its founders and its officers. Mr. Cristoforo does not and never did own in whole or in part a stake in Endcontrol LLC nor its affiliated companies. And they go on and talk about the email and apologizing to their customers. And so what the gaming community did is they went out on the net and they wrote like 500 negative reviews on Amazon on this controller. And it just went on and on and on. This guy tried to cover up his tracks by changing his Twitter address a few times and just it. And he was on MSNBC. It got so bad. And this is amazing. I have this link in the show notes. You've got to read this. And if you're not as astounded as I am, I'm sorry. But it should make every company sit back and really think about who they have manning the email wires. Not only that, their social media guy was some 12-year-old. Yeah, a 12-year-old was their social media person. So not a lot of smart moves there. But it really should make you think. And, you know, there's times I get, you know, you get an email from someone and you have to go push the keyboard back and you have to, you know, walk around the room a few times, sit down and smile and respond. And I can be crass just like anyone else. So I had to be really careful. Matter of fact, sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not going to answer that one. You know, I would not, if I was a customer support person, I'd be fired the first day. I would not make it as a customer support person. I just wouldn't. I know that I don't have the demeanor for it. So, you know, you know, everyone knows where their weaknesses is. I know that would be mine. And having to answer the phone and deal with upset people. And you'd be okay until someone really tweaked you. Then you'd go off. Then you'd be fired. And then something would make the business and, you know, make the venture beat. And you don't want to be on venture beat. Your name doesn't want to be associated with that in any way. All right. So anyway, moving on here. Verizon. My goodness. I turned my Verizon 4G card on yesterday and it was just like, hello. Nobody, it's connecting, but no one's home. But apparently it was nationwide. And Verizon is coming out with some, you know, excuse that they're trying to fix this and it's tied to their infrastructure and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, how they've got cutting edge technology. But, you know, if this had broken 2 weeks from now, I would be screaming because, you know, we're going to be having our $6,000 wired internet connection in Vegas is one thing, but we rely on our wireless cards a great deal. I don't know why today, but I found some gaming stuff and I wanted to share with you a video. And if you're a Nintendo fan, you're going to want to watch this. And this is about 2 minutes. Those of you that are listening, I think you'll be able to tell what's going on. And this is an awesome, this thing's going to sell a lot of copies. So let me go ahead and load this up. And then you guys can watch, see if I can play this. And if it gets, I'm sorry, if for those of you on the audio portion, it's just too cool. And if you don't fully understand it, come back and watch the video.
Thanks for joining us today on the Nintendo Network. I'm here to check out the new controller and new console that was just announced at Nintendo's E3 presentation.
And here is the new controller.
Wow.
I mean, essentially, it's a combination of a touchscreen, you have your traditional inputs, and you have motion control. But you have to see this actually in experience. So the objective is really simple, Krista. All you have to do is run, and we're going to chase you.
All right.
It's like a giant game of tag. You're going to be using the new controller screen. You have that personal set of information. We can't see what you're seeing. My job, essentially, is to be playing with the Wii Remote and these guys. We're going to be using the screen to try and chase you down. You can use whatever information that you have on the new controller screen to evade us.
So she's watching the game.
Left circle pad to go ahead and move around.
And the other people are watching the television. So she's running from them in this game. It's basically kind of like Mario Brothers, but she's getting chased, or actually she's getting a head start. And then the other four players are going to use regular Wii controllers, or Nintendo controllers, Wii Remote controllers, to go after her on the television. This is totally cool. So this is probably going to get flagged by
guys, let's communicate.
YouTube because of the video, the audio in there.
I saw that also. Where is she? Okay, I don't see her. Oh, she's in the middle of blue. Right. Okay.
So they're trying to chase her down now.
No! Don't!
I should keep running on the inside.
I'm on her. No!
I can't chase her down just yet.
Miss!
Oh, you almost got her.
Okay,
no, I see her. Watch this. She can't see me. She has no
idea
where
I can see you.
No, you can't.
I have a map.
No, you can't.
Four.
So anyway, this game, here's basically what it is. You've got the controller. One person is the, you know, they're the one that's running and everyone else is chasing. So you have five people playing. And this is going to be real popular with the kids. The kids are going to go crazy over this. And it looks to me like this Wii U is, while it's even months away from launch, it's this touchscreen controller is definitely making people sit back and go, hmm. So we'll see what this was. This was over at thedaily.com, and I'll have the link up in the show notes. But I showed my son this, and the 8-year-old specifically, he came in and looked at it, and dad, you know, he's immediately, can you buy this? And then the 14-year-old comes in, and he's watching it, and he's, play it again. And of course, now they're psyched. But we'll see. We'll see what the price point is when this comes out. But can you imagine playing like baseball or something? You have everyone, you're out in the you got enough people to field the team. Pretty cool, yeah. I think so. So let me turn the volume down here on this. So anyway, I'll have that link up in the show notes. The Chinese firm Alibaba. And I don't know if I pronounced that right. If I didn't, I don't care. But the Alibaba Group has hired a Washington lobbying firm and a sign that the Chinese e-commerce company is looking to make a bid for Yahoo. And that's an interesting move here by the folks from Alibaba. You know, there's been a lot of scrutiny on Chinese companies coming in and buying up companies in the United States to get on the stock exchange. So here we have a Alibaba may be owned by, maybe going after Yahoo in a big way. So we'll keep our eye on that. There was to the dismay of IT administrators across the country today, apparently there is a new significant vulnerability out there that affects a large number of platforms, Ruby, PHP, I think ASP and some other things. And Microsoft issued a security advisory, and they basically did an out-of-band update. And this is a big one. They're saying that Microsoft has confirmed that this way this hack works is that a single 100K specially crafted HTTP request sent to a server running ASP.NET would consume 100% of one CPU cores for 90 to 110 seconds, basically saying a single computer could bring down through really low level amount of pings being sent to it, could bring the server to its knees and basically doing a very effective denial of service attack with hardly any, you don't need a big botnet. It's just a one deal. This has got administrators scrambling all across the United States. People are mad. They're being called in from vacation to patch this. people are pulling all-nighters. It's in, people are saying, well, why did they release it here in between Christmas and New Year's? And it is a good question to ask, but Microsoft must be worried about it or must know that something's getting ready to pop. So we'll see how this develops and whether or not websites start going down from this vulnerability. But this is a low bandwidth bot-free takedown by, and it's a lot of systems are affected. So I fired this over to Angelo today, and he's looking it over, and we probably have to make some changes at Raw Voice 2 to be patched from this. Google Plus is basically, if you're doing something naughty in your profile picture, if you're basically showing your middle finger or doing something obscene, Google Plus is basically now removing your picture. And believe it or not, Tom Anderson, and we all should know who Tom Anderson is, who is the Mr. The guy that everyone was friended on MySpace. Tom is basically came after, basically kind of pounced on MJ Siegler, was the person that wrote this finding out and said, hey, are you really upset about your finger being removed? He said that, Google Plus is, has a policy. And every service has a policy. And he said Facebook had a policy. Did I say Facebook for, I said MySpace for Tom, right? Tom Anderson. So anyway, we'll see how this develops. But Tom says it was very difficult at MySpace to keep up with offensive photos. And he said they had decent technology and many warm bodies on the case to basically review those. But he's not surprised that Google has went through. So don't put up any naughty pictures on Google Plus. They will take your profile picture off. And Google Plus is growing in leaps and leaps of bounds right now. People were thinking that it was kind of on life support, but they're thinking that Google Plus could very quickly catch up to Facebook based on current growth rates. So we'll see how long this really takes. But there is some speculation here that this is really rocking and rolling. One thing, I got an email from, and it's not a listener, it wasn't someone that even, I guess, didn't even know about my site, but the individual emailed me and he said, hey, Todd, one of your images from your website is being used on a scammer site. So I had an Amazon, one of my articles back 2 years ago used a little bit of an Amazon banner. We just, basically captured the Amazon logo and put it on one of the blog posts. And I basically went and looked at the website that he linked me to. And sure enough, they were hot linking an image back from Geek News Central. So what I did is I went in and edited the graphic. And let me see if I can show you guys I don't know if you'll be able to see this or not. What I did is I oh crap. Let me go look here. This is what I put on the replace the banner with. This site is scamming people. Leave the site immediately. So it took them about 30 hours before the scammers realized I'd changed the graphics out. And there's some other tricks you can do. I can block hot linking and some other stuff, but it has some adverse effects when you're running multiple sites. But it was kind of funny to see them kind of drop after a while, but that traffic, that site, I looked at the stats on that, and that scammer site was getting about 30 to 35,000 hits a day, and I was pretty astounded that just one scammer site was getting that much traffic, and it was all being driven in from Facebook, and it was basically some sort of a free Kindle offer. And people were being sucked right in, and they were asking to click some buttons and do some other things that would have not been good for your computer. But anyway, so I had that up for them and to see for about 30 hours. All right, the folks over at PCMag.com have 9 ways to supercharge your iPhone camera. And what really drew me over here was this live action camera remote by Belkin. And what you do is, it's a little adapter that goes right on your phone, and you can angle the iPhone. So you sit on a desk, or you have a tripod mount, however it may be, And then you can use this little remote control to actually snap the picture. So you don't have to hold the camera, and you can have it the camera set where you need to set it. Pretty cool little product, $49.99. It's called the Live Action Camera Remote. So kind of a cool product. We'll definitely be seeing this out at CES. I've already asked the Belkin folks to bring that by the booth and show it to us. So looking forward to being able just to play with it, and definitely will be buying one myself. The space community has basically said, hey, we've been looking for aliens via, SETI and some different processes. Why don't we go over all the pictures that are being taken of the moon and see if we can find any evidence of aliens that have left something on the moon's surface and left some sort of a sign. So this is what they're going to do now. They're going to go over tens of thousands of moon images. And they're going to see if they can find anything that resembles alien stuff. And they're going to see if they can find. I guess a great place to start right there in our backyard. You don't have to go out and look. See if, if there's been UFOs landing on the moon. They'll definitely leave a mark, right? So we'll see what they'll be able to dig out. All right, my kids still are big Lego fans. And over the years, people have brought us, I just don't know why, but we ended up with this massive, I mean, really massive Lego collection. And when the neighbor kids come, they always ooh and ah about it. It takes up an area in my garage. And it's some of the Legos were donated. I don't know where my wife got them all, but it's a little bit over the top. But someone has created the Large Hadron Collider. They made it a Lego of it. A 1/50th scale, used 9,500 pieces, took 33 hours to build, and he spent 48 hours on 3D models to base it on. So he actually, has like a huge amount of work into this, and it cost about $2,500 in total Lego parts to build, and I guess for anything else, it's a cool little project, but I don't have that kind of time. How do people have this kind of time? I guess it's a hobby and it's something people relax and like doing. I've never had the time for it. Remember the old Erector sets? When I was a kid, spent a lot of time using the Erector set stuff. All right, if you've got an HTC phone, HTC has unlocked a number of Androids, even the phones that are on AT&T and Verizon. So after making good on a promise from earlier this year, they're offering a software tool to unlock its Android devices that launch after September 2011. This bootloader will work with a variety of phones, the Resound, the Vivid, the Rhyme, the Thunderbolt, and some other models as well, and even ones that are on AT&T and Verizon. Now, this doesn't allow you to change a SIM card out and go to a different carrier, but it allows you to load the bootloader if you want to. So I have the link up in the show notes on that. That was over at GigaOhm.com in their mobile section. Article here by Wired. Do you remember several years ago when the FF started a lawsuit against the U.S. government for basically putting equipment in telecommunication companies' closets and routing calls through there as a part of Homeland Defense and trying to catch bad people, communicating with terrorists and so forth. Well, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, reviving the long-running case, this three-judge panel unanimously refused to rule on the merits of the case or whether it was true the United States breached the public's Fourth Amendment rights by undertaking an ongoing dragnet surveillance program. So basically, the San Francisco court has reversed a San Francisco federal judge who tossed the case against the government nearly 3 years ago. So there is now going to be the ability for the EFF to move forward here on this. And we will see where this goes. But back in the news, folks, and this is good. We can see what the EFF is able to dredge up on this as they move forward. So it took a while, but the court has ruled in the EFF's favor. And the lawsuit can proceed, so we see where it goes. At the same time, the Copyright Office today has sought to make it more difficult to retain DMCA safe harbor. Let me show you a little piece of paper. I got a clipboard here. For those of you watching, there is a form you have to fill out with the Copyright Office, and you have to send them $80 plus an additional $30 to do a to designate an agent to receive notifications of claim infringement. So this is a DMCA form. Basically, this is what you send to the Copyright Office so that if someone thinks something on your site is infringing, they can send you a DMCA. They know how to send you a DMCA takedown notice. Now, Raw Voice has one of these on file. I've never filed one for a Geek News Central or my company, and was reading through this and decided I better do this. So basically, I'm going to send this off to the Copyright Office and along with a check to basically register a designated agent here at Geek News Central to receive DMCA takedown notices. Now, what that does is that provides Geek News Central some safe harbors protection, and essentially because people comment on Geek News Central and I have other writers on Geek News Central, there is a certain amount of additional protection I have. And it doesn't absolve me of anything. It just basically allows me to have companies have a vehicle to say, this is how you contact this site to take stuff down. But the Copyright Office is seeking to make it more difficult to retain the DMCA safe harbors, and they're trying to make companies refile on a regular basis. Now, I'd hate to have to pay that. I'm going to have to pay $110 because Podcast Connect is my corporation. Geek News Central is a subsidiary, or basically it's owned by Podcast Connect. It's my one of my doing business as, and underneath my corporation. So basically, I have to, file those two and send them $110. Now, if I have to send them $110 every year, that would suck. It really would. And basically, the folks over at TechDirt are warning companies that this is being considered by the Copyright Office. So they're taking comments right now on this, and hopefully people will wake up and we'll be able to make sure that they don't implement this. Well, at the same time, we talked last week about VEO ruling and basically how VEO was essentially destroyed because of Universal Music suing them. And we know that Universal Music lost that lawsuit. So here's the question. So should there be significant punishments for bogus copyright claims that kill companies? Or basically cause you to lose revenue? You look at what Universal Music Group did. They did some sort of a takedown of that mega upload video. Those guys lost, they spent a lot of money to do that video, and they lost all their promotional, punch from that. So, we've seen the U.S. government shut down the Jaws 1 for over a year and then all of a sudden let them have the site back. Without any giving any reason why they let them have it back up. So going back to SOPA, a partial fix to the SOPA and Protect IP Act would make right holders bear the cost of their overclaiming. And I think this would go a long way to protecting all of us that think that way SOPA has been written is that, okay, the way that SOPA is written right now is if I say to some.com my content, or if I say to an ISP or to a domain register, my content has been hijacked and lifted and is put on this.com, I want you to take this site down. Any domain register or whoever's in control of that those records has to do that based upon my submission of paperwork to them. So hopefully what will happen here is if the SOPA thing is shoved down our throats, they will fix this so that rights holders are going to have to bear the cost of overclaiming. And this is going to, hopefully that at least will keep people in check. Now, companies that are big, they have lots of money, maybe they don't care, right? It's worth the price of business to put someone out of business. And then they litigate it, and, you know, the small guy loses. The feel from the folks at TechDirt is that they should make companies put up a big bond, $1 million or $1 billion bond for a privilege of sending cutoff notices, and pay liberally out of that bond if the rights owners get the law or facts wrong. We'll write checks to the investors, employees where economic expectations are disrupted. I think we all agree that people that are infringing, people that are rightfully infringing and stealing content, their content should be taken down. But at the same time, we know that there's been this open move by companies, the RIAA, NPAA, the U.S. government, to take sites down. Some of those sites that they took down were valid to be need to go down. I still don't agree that they didn't get any due process. I think everyone should have their day in court no matter what. But we know that the supporters of the bill would reject this suggestion, and saying that, hey, this is going to make it harder for them to enforce their rights. And I say tough. You know, we need to make it hard for, you know, we need to make the penalties tough on companies that abuse the DMCA. If, unfortunately, SOPA gets jammed down our throats, we will have to deal with overzealous companies that abuse that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. And but again, the only way that this is going to continue is if we go out and the people that were raising so much stink go out and go after these other companies that are supporting this bill and scream bloody murder at them. So let's switch gears here. Over the Christmas holidays, App Store downloads reach record-breaking numbers. This is remarkable. Of course, everyone got their new toys just like they do on Christmas, and they, you know, they start playing with them and loading apps. And we see a huge influx of listeners here because people are downloading podcasting apps and so forth. But from about 7 to 10 p.m. on Christmas Day, there was just a massive amount of downloads. But there was, the total number was 108 million apps were sold on Christmas Day. That's 125% increase when compared to the daily app downloads averaged between December 1st and December 20th. So that's a huge. Now, they expect a total of 1 billion downloads between Christmas and New Year's. So that's a huge number. It really is. And so, you know, if you get your new toys, you spend a lot of money on apps, that's for sure. Hey, LG is going to be revealing an 84-inch 3D UD TV at CES. But here's the problem. I don't think LG is actually on the floor. We got an email from LG saying, come on over to a certain hotel and see us. I don't think LG is actually going to be on the show floor. I'm not going to go over to another hotel to see this. So if you want to check out this 84-inch 3D ultra-definition TV, I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, this is a pretty cool video. It's called Robot Love. This is over on CNET. When Daniel123 meets Jane234, and Kubo, which I believe is going to be at CES. I think we've already talked to them. Kubo is going to be there, and they basically are little robots that are programmable. And they had two Kubos on a table, and basically they were, this thing has some face recognition capabilities. When you hold up a mirror in front of it, it can recognize itself and so forth. But when it saw another Kubo, it kind of got a little weird, and the developers were a little bit surprised. And it didn't give the response that they thought it was. And this basically, they kind of got cute with one another. So this experiment has prompted the folks that are developing these to see whether it's possible to stimulate consciousness in robots. And I think we're a long ways from it. But it was kind of an interesting, maybe a fluke, but I'll let you watch the video yourself to check it out. Great article on businessweek.com about some different types of conventions that none of us will probably ever get an invite to, but it's where countries go to buy all kinds of gear that they use to essentially spy on people. And talking about how the folks at this show are so basically paranoid. They don't want to use their computers. They don't want to use their phones. They don't want to use anything at the show because of all this interesting gear that's on the floor. I have a link up for you in the show notes. I think you guys will get a laugh out of it. In Japan, you know, vending machines are everywhere. You can still get beer out of a vending machine. You can buy cigarettes in a vending machine in Japan. It hasn't got to the point in Japan where people are politically correct, where, you know, you can almost get anything out of a vending machine in Japan. Well, now, incentive to use a vending machine now is when you buy something, it's going to give you a code to use and be able to get some Wi-Fi connection from it. So you can stand there and, you know, smoke a cigarette or drink your beer or drink your soda or drink your hot coffee or cold coffee, whatever you may have ordered out of the Japan. And believe me, the coffees coming out of Japanese vending machines are awesome. And they're going to be able to, you know, get a little bit of a Wi-Fi connection there and essentially get their email or whatever it may be. So pretty cool little marketing trick by the vending machine people. New article out on torrentfreak.com talking about 15% of U.S. file sharers hide their IP address. So, you know, people start to become very concerned about increased legal action and surveillance of internet traffic. So at right now, about 15% of all file sharers take measures to hide their IP address. Some VPN and proxy providers have doubled their customer base in 2011, and this upward trend is bound to continue. You know, with the sites like you have downloaded that basically are showing who's downloading stuff, people are starting to become more aware they can be tracked out there. And so people are starting to do more to cover up their IP address. I'm really excited about a company called GoGo. And GoGo is the company that is putting internet connectivity into airplanes. And they're getting ready to do an IPO. They're trying to raise $100 million. And there's some interesting takeaways about how many airplanes are currently wired up, mostly Delta and American. I know United Airlines is going to start getting wired up this year. I don't know if GoGo is the vendor or not. But it talks about, you know, how many people are using the internet on flights and so forth and their revenues. And it's a pretty interesting read for those of you that are interested in this type of stuff. I have the link up for you in the show notes. There's rumor out of Taiwan that Apple's going to be releasing a couple of iPads, maybe three in January at Macworld. But people are scratching their head saying Apple doesn't participate in Macworld anymore. And there's some people saying that IDG's hiding that Apple's going to be there and that they're actually going to be at the show. And so a lot of discussion. I personally don't think it's going to happen. It's pretty hard to hide a company. IDG is not a small, Macworld is not a small event. IDG is not a small company. And if Apple was coming back to that, that would immediately be on the front page because people are going to want to, you know, to help raise attendance. So we'll see where this goes. Hey, I found another cool one over at Old Gizmo. How many of you are riding your bike to work now? How many of you are doing more biking? How many of you get a little tired going up some hills and you maybe need a little assist? Well, there's a cool thing. It's called the Ride Kick. And believe it or not, where I live here, it's hills, hills, hills. I've been riding my bike. And I'm getting my butt kicked because they're so tall. But this new Ride Kick has got a battery and a motor, and it helps push you along. And going up the hill gives you that boost. You're not going to lose as much weight, but it'll help you zoom right along at about 19 miles per hour consistently. And definitely for $700, this thing is a lot cheaper than most of the low-end electric bikes. So I have a link up in the show notes for you on that. Another thing, too, is often, I'm sure all of us are getting a situation where just you wish you had another hand, right, to have a flashlight. And just recently, one of our closets had one of those pull cord deals, and the cord broke. So now I have to go in there with a flashlight until I can get it fixed. But a company called Flexit has a pretty cool array of LED lights. And this thing is, you can bend to your will and then you kind of stick it where you need it to go. And it's got some magnets on it. This is a pretty slick little light device. It doesn't tell all the different ways that it hooks up, but it's $30. You can't beat it. and a great way to get some lighting maybe where you wouldn't normally get it. It isn't real big, but it makes it look big in the pictures. But I think this would be handy in certain situations where you needed an extra hand. Here's a reminder, you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Rumors out the chipmakers are bidding on Apple ITV contracts at this point. There continues to be more rumors in the pipeline that Apple is starting to that process. And also more rumors that the TVs could be as big as 37 inches. Along with that, there has been some more information come out exactly what Apple's planning. And not really worrying about the content, but worrying about the alignment of the experience as you expect Apple to do so. So we'll see what happens with this. And, you know, Apple's got a tough row to hoe on this one in order to be able to get the media companies on board. If anybody can do it, they can. If you want to know if you can jailbreak your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch, there is a great gouge article over at lifehacker.com. Tells you which ones you can jailbreak, which versions, which ones you can and cannot. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you too to check out. Another article on Lifehacker was, if you want to see where your bags go when you check them into the airlines and how they get moved around, it's not that impressive. So it's a couple of minute worth video if you just want to watch that process, and you can see how your bags get rolled around and bumped and banged and loaded into airplanes and so forth. Hey, KL over at Geek News Central wrote us a great article about Android phones. And, you know, there's so many Android phones out. I really, if I was to go buy one, I'd have to have some assistance. But she wrote a good article about buying a good Android phone and talking about what to look for and the different options that you have. So if you're in the market for an Android phone, you'll definitely want to look at what KL has written up here and checked it out. And again, I want to remind you as well that the Gadget Professor, the latest edition of the Gadget Professor's out talking about the Roku 2. We've actually requested the Roku team, who's going to be at CES doing meetings, to actually meet with us live. We hope that they're going to be able to accommodate us and come down. They were able to do so last year. Those of you that have Windows Phone, they hit the 50,000 app submission milestone. So that shows you that Windows Phone's making some inroads here on the app development process, which is good. If you are into the SSD market, Runcore is going to be offering some new storage solution. This at CES. Basically, if you want to need for storage, the Falcon series is a Marvel-based storage solution that boasts what's called R/write IOPS speeds, and 6 gigs SSDs is what you're looking at. And but anyway, I have the link up in the show notes. You can check this out. They actually requested to come on live. I don't know if I actually booked them or not. I thought we'd go to their booth and see all their gear and see their demos and so forth. Sometimes it's easier to go to the actual vendor when they're trying to show you speed performance and all that. Scientists have been able to take an old record. Now check this out. A record that's like 125 years old. And this is stuff that actually came out of some labs when they were initially testing this, testing the ability to press records. And what they've been doing is they've got a way to scan damaged audio disc and basically get the beat data off it and actually be able to recover the recordings. And I thought this is pretty cool. Now they've been able to use a system called Irene/3D to snap high resolution images of the damaged media. And then they go through the process to be able to recover that. And I guess they've been able to recover like 30 records so far. So that is kind of a cool thing that they've got going on. I don't think I showed you the picture, but interesting stuff. All right, if you are having trouble writing your resume and you have a LinkedIn profile, well, there's a way to generate a formatted resume from your LinkedIn profile. And the folks over at Hack College have a good write-up on this. And, you know, here's the thing you should think about, too. You know, LinkedIn is a great way to really have an ongoing live resume of your experiences. You know, recommendations, you name it. It really does build a great picture, especially when you get people that have worked with you to do recommend you and so forth. But there is a pretty cool little app here. So I have this linked up in the show notes for you. You'll still have to tweak it, but you know, you'll be able to build your resume off your LinkedIn profile. All right, that's all we got for comments. Or I mean, not comments, but for articles for tonight. But I do have some email that I'm going to go through. I'm going to not read some emails that have come in. And but I got an email here from, and just because I'm just going to skip over the negative, and some of it I'll probably read. But here's one is from Marcella. He says, "Hey, sorry, Todd, I had my Gmail hacked, but caught it before they sent 5 emails. Love your podcast." So I want to thank you, Marcella, for that. Got an email here from Steve. He says, "Well, Todd, you've finally shown your true colors. You are GoDaddy's beep, and you have sold your soul to them. We now see that you'd have no integrity at all. Now that I know you are simply a beep for the money, I'll listen to your podcast simply for the entertainment value and not because I believe in you. Steve, leave." You know, that's my comment to Steve at hotmail.com. Leave. You're going to talk to me like that? I'm sorry. I don't need you as a listener. Got an email here from Jeffrey. He said, "Hey, Todd, how are you? Happy holidays to your family. I hope to see you at CES. I'll be attending for Mixer Business and with press credentials. And you asked about how we listen to GNC on our phones. I've been using Dodcatcher for Android for several years now, and it's the best podcatcher for Android. Over-the-air ear syncing and both audio and video podcasts are supported. Lots of features. I listen regularly to GNC and about 30 other shows, including No Agenda in the Morning, of course. And Dogcatcher works like a charm. In the shameless plug department, I recently launched my own fiction podcast called Wonderkind at wonderkindpodcast.com, which is an original comedy screenplay read as a podcast. Lastly, in November, Mixer launched Mixer Social Radio, a free streaming radio service that's been called a cross between a Pandora and a turntable.fm. With Mixer Social Radio, you can listen to music together with your Facebook friends in real time and chat live across Android, iOS, and the web. Feel free to take a listen. Hope to see you in Vegas. Until then, Happy New Year. All the best, Jeff." Jeff, I know you're going to be in Vegas. You're going to be there. You need to get on our list, dude. You know, we run into every year. Make sure you get on our list so we can bring you on live and you can show off Mixer Social Radio at the show. Go over to TPN TV and definitely get that app filled out. I got an email here from Ron. He said, "Hey, Todd, in your last show, you asked people how to write in and let you know how we got your show. If we download the audio for our comments, commutes, etc. Well, I listen to your show using my iPhone 4 and automatically receive your podcast through Instacast application, which can be found in the Apple App Store. This app gives me the freedom from iTunes and manages podcast subscriptions quite well, and there's no need to connect to a computer and sync podcasts between devices using iCloud. It's a paid app, but in the grand scheme of things, it's well worth the investment." Thanks, Ron, for that. Got an email here from Ross. He says, "Hey, good morning, Todd. I'm listening to your latest podcast. You're talking about using electronics on aircraft. You hit the nail on the head when you stated that the reason why the air crew won't let you use electronics during takeoff and landing as they want you to have your full attention in an emergency. I was air crew with the Canadian military for 5 years, and it used to burn my occoli when someone wasn't paying attention to the demo or the video. I used to say to myself, 'Buddy, you're on your own. Just jet North Atlantic.' One of the major airlines wants their pilots to use iPad for all maps right in the cockpit, and these are being used for landing and takeoff. So why could the pilots use them right next to the console while I'm parked at the back of the plane and coach?" So I agree. "You mentioned in Hawaii that people remove their shoes when entering home. We do something here in Canada as well, but I don't provide my guests with slippers." We don't provide stuff guests with slippers either. They come in barefoot. Okay, no slippers. We all wear slippers. That's when we're going out. But I think it's too cold in Canada to wear slippers. Someone said on the last show, Matt said from the UK, "Todd, the word you used at 5120 in the last show is definitely not child friendly in the UK. Maybe it means something else you must can't remember. At least I think that's what you're saying. Cheers, Matt." Matt, I will be careful to not use words that are not child friendly in the UK. I got an email here from Bo. He says, "I'm using a podcatcher on Nokia N9. It's a Linux-based phone from Nokia. It is OS is Migo/Hartman. I download a podcast with Podcatcher on Wi-Fi or the mobile network. Bo is in Sweden, and he was on the train at the moment. Got an email from Jeff Ramsey, one of our longtime listeners of the show, says, hey, I listen to Geek News Central. You ask, and here it is, on a Zoom using PodTrapper app running through my PV audio mixer. And, of course, Jeffrey's, he's basically bedridden because of a gunshot accident a number of years ago. And, Jeffrey, I hope you're doing okay. Got an email from Bob. He said, hey, Todd, this is my travel power setup. And he basically links me to some cool power outlets. So I'll have those link up in the show notes for you. Got an email here from Peter. He said, hey, Todd, you lost one very long time listener. He says, I realize GoDaddy pays the bills, put the food in your family's mouths, etc., but I will not support a supporter of SOPA. Well, we know they've reversed, Peter. I have to admit, I'll do a search on the net for supporters of SOPA. Thank you for that idea. Yes, I'll be making every effort to exclude supporters from my financial support. For instance, I didn't know that Adobe was a supporter of SOPA. I was thinking of purchasing Adobe Premiere. I'll be sticking with Final Cut for a little longer. I am not supporting in any way or any form, as far as is practical, any person or company that supports SOPA. I realize that GoDaddy pays your bills, puts food in your family mouths, but I will not support, even vicariously, a supporter of a SOPA supporter. A supporter of a SOPA support, okay? SOPA is far too reaching for me to do otherwise. And this came in before they had changed their decision. Got an email here from Chris. Hey, Todd, have a look at the glamour photo work from this guy creative, and it will appear to programmers. The link is safe, but some of his work does contain adult images, so distribute with care. Definitely, Chris, I went to this link. I can't put this in the show notes. I apologize. I just can't. Thanks for the link, though, but too much bare chest. I just can't do it. Got an email here from Rob. He says, I was listening to your rant about Hawaii Electric's handling of solar power on episode 729. It appears you were misunderstanding why your neighbors is being paid less to send power to the grid than he pays for the power he takes to the grid. The cost for electric power has two main components, energy and delivery. So you pay one rate per kilowatt hour for the cost of the energy and another for the delivery, which involves the cost of the wires, transformers. Combining the two costs, you get gives your total electric rate. When a person sells power back to the grid, they paid for the energy, which according to Hawaii Electric is set at an average higher rate and are unpaid for on-peak power of 22.5 cents per kilowatt. For smaller systems, less than 100 kilowatts for December 2011, when the solar panel uses a surplus, the customer avoids the delivery charge, but they're not entitled to be paid back because it doesn't take responsibility for the wires on the side of the meter. It's actually a very good deal in Hawaii because if you add the avoided cost of power, which to what you get paid for the surplus of the total savings, is better than what you'll get anywhere on the mainland. Finally, if your neighbors took advantage of the available state, a credit of 35%, the actual cost of $5,000, which is ever less, and federal tax credits for solar installation, then the deal gets even sweeter. Oh, I know. It's actually, I think you get it's a huge reduction. You almost get 3/4 of your system paid for. He says, your second point with respect to utilities fearing solar powers would place them as a bit of an exaggeration. Solar arrays are only effective for generating power during daylight hours and only when they're not obstructed by thick clouds, covers, or structures naturally and man-made. As such, in order to go off the grid, the homeowner would have to purchase a larger than normal solar array depending on their electric demand needs and install a very expensive, at least $10,000s battery backup system that would provide power outside of the sun's shining hours. The cost of making this happen is prohibitive for almost all homeowners. The utilities know this, so they don't think it is a threat to their business. What utilities do want to make sure is that they're getting paid for any extra equipment, like a two-way meter, man hours resulting from customer power generation, hence the service fee that is added to your neighbor's bill. This agreement aside, thanks for continuing to show. Merry Christmas. So he sent that in before Christmas. But you know, Rob, here's the thing on that. If he goes zero on his bill, he pays $29.95. That's his base bill. He has to pay just to be hooked up to the grid. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got for tonight. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for letting me kind of rant at the beginning of the show. Again, Happy New Year. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for staying subscribed. And for those of you that, are still here, love you guys all very much. And for the haters, go away. I hate to say it that way, but life is too short. And to deal with it, we'll continue to take companies to task as we need to. I look forward to bringing you a great amount of coverage at CES with, I think we've got nearly 80 companies already booked for live. We're going to have, I think now we've added the guys from Plugits Live. They're going to be on board coming to the show. So I think our total numbers at CES are now like 20. So I think we're going to have a total of 3 floor teams plus the live stuff. So we're going to be well equipped to cover the show in a big way. And we're going to be looking to try to get as much stuff out as we can. You're going to want to watch starting on, we're going to be announcing a schedule and when we're going to do some live events prior to the show. But this will be the last, I think, video show until we're live in Vegas, just because I have to ship everything. And we got to break the studio down. I don't have enough money to buy duplicates of everything and leave stuff set up. But as always, it's my appreciation that you guys appreciate me. And I appreciate you guys for being part of the Ohana and being part of the family here. And thank you for supporting our sponsors if you feel so inclined to do so. Here's a little interesting tidbit. GoDaddy click-through rates on Geek News Central are 5 times higher right now into GoDaddy than they have been the rest of the month. Go figure. Maybe it's people just wanting to go to GoDaddy to figure out what's going on. I don't know. But it didn't slow down outbounds, so which is odd. We'll see at the end of the month when the when the performance report comes in. All right, everybody, thanks for being here. Have a happy new year. Be safe. And if you drink, have a driver, okay? Make sure you're safe out there. Take care. And aloha.